You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So today we're looking at a secular view on godliness, because the whole week we are speaking all things godliness. So exploring secular perspectives on morality and godliness involves examining how individuals who do not adhere to religious beliefs or doctrines approach ethical principles and the pursuit of a virtuous life. Exploring those aspects can provide insights into the diverse ways in which individuals without religious beliefs construct and embody their understanding of morality and godliness in a secular context. And once again, we are joined by my pastor, Pastor Obama Mubela, who's going to be helping us understanding this concept and issues that we're going to be unpacking today. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm all right. How are you doing this morning?
I am very well, Mfundisi. So it rained overnight, so I overslept a bit. But because of the rain, I slept. I don't know why we say we slept like babies, but I slept like a baby.
You are one, huh?
Okay, back to godliness. Pastor, please pray for us before we start our conversation.
All right, let us pray. Eternal loving Father in heaven, we are so grateful once more today for the space, for the gift of life. Our prayers that you may be with us, and as we look at the subject, godliness, tackling secular godliness, give us minds that are clear and hearts, the listeners, that are receptive. Help us understand, and may you take total charge. In the name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, speaking about all things godliness and the secular view, how do secular individuals establish a moral foundation without reference to any religious authority?
Today's topic is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are now referring to or talking about people that are pursuing moral and ethical principles without really relying on religious beliefs or doctrines.
Mm.
So when we are to look at how they establish a moral foundation without reference to religious authority, basically we are looking at ways in which they seem better or which they have followed other than what the religious or the doctrinal way take it. Number one, we have... they look at the ethical philosophies which are there, the ethical ones. Secular moral frameworks would draw their principles like utilitarianism, deontology, virtue ethics, and these theories, according to them, will provide guidelines for determining what is right and wrong based on reason, number one. They also look at the consequences. They also look at the duties or the character development. So number one, they establish their moral and ethical principles based on ethical philosophies. Number two, they look at humanism. Humanists, when you look at them, they value and focus on human agency.
Okay.
They look at dignity.
Mm.
They also look at the well-being. In short, they prioritize empathy, compassion, which we talked about yesterday, and ethical decision-making based on the impact on individuals and society as a whole, not even looking at what the doctrines or the religious people would say. Number three, they would get to establish their moral principles based on social contracts.
Okay.
Secular morality will often involve the idea of social contracts, which they agree upon. They would agree upon rules and principles. They gather as human beings, so they agree on rules and principles that will benefit the society as a whole. Now, these rules, I must mention, are based, again, on reason, on human reason, empathy, and the collective benefit rather than the divine decree. The last one that I would mention is that of critical thinking and personal autonomy.
Mm.
Remember, in godliness, we mention things whereby we emulate what God does. But according to them, it is not what you think, what God thinks. It is all about what a person thinks, personal autonomy. And so they value personal autonomy and individual agency in making ethical decisions. They encourage people to reflect on their values and make choices based on understanding, on their own understanding of what is right and what is wrong.
So looking at that, Mpundiswami, are they universal ethical principles or values that are commonly embraced within secular morality?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Within secular morality, certain principles and values tend to be commonly embraced due to their universal nature, as we mentioned in the ways, universal nature and alignment with humanistic perspectives. Some of these universal principles would include human dignity, where you esteem the worth and value of every individual, regardless of race, religion, gender, or any other fact. Now, this one would only place value on every individual, while the other one, as we get to the end, we'll look at it, will now place value on the other above oneself. Number two, the other universal principle we find is that of compassion. There's that cultivating empathy and understanding towards others, which aims at reducing suffering and promote well-being, of course. There's also the issue of justice and fairness. All right, since they gather, they agree upon rules, what to be right and wrong, there's that issue of advocating for equal rights and opportunities for all, as well as fairness in the treatment of individuals within that society. There's also the issue of respect for autonomy. So as this one comes on board, says this, this one comes on board, says that, they acknowledge and respect one's freedom to make their own choices and decisions as long as they do not harm others. So you're free to do whatever you want, but as long as you do not harm the other person. The last one which I would mention is that of ethical responsibility. There's an emphasis on personal responsibility for one's actions. You are responsible for what you do. Until you are responsible, you have not grown up. So there's emphasizing personal responsibility for one's actions and their impact on others, as well as the society as a whole. So there are these things which they have agreed upon. They seem to be universal in their principality.
In secular worldview, Mpundiswami, how is the value and dignity of human life emphasized? This one is going to be a challenge. and how does this contribute to a sense of moral responsibility?
this one is going to be long, but let us try to answer that one. In a secular worldview, the value and dignity of human life is often emphasized through a focus on human rights. Okay. So they emphasize that through a focus on human rights, empathy, as well as rational ethics. Now, here's how these emphases contribute to a sense of moral responsibility. Compared, of course, to biblical perspective, when you look at the human rights framework, secular ethics often place a strong emphasis on universal human rights. You can't even tamper with someone's human right. They look at that. So these rights are considered inherent. They are the I don't know what way to use, but to all individuals by virtue of their humanity, as long as they are born, not because they are granted by a divine entity, no, it emphasizes the intrinsic value and worth of every human being. So human rights, basically, they place that focus on the fact that everyone was born with an intrinsic value. And so we do not respect them based on the extrinsic value, but based on the intrinsic value.
Okay.
Number two, would look at empathy and compassion. While secular morality emphasizes all these things, it drives moral principles from rational thoughts. This one is also it's also something that would make one get to think and to say, all right, am I doing my duty? If you are, good. What's next?
Yeah.
And now look at the rational ethical framework now. Look at empathy, compassionate, what's next? The next thing is now is ethical framework. Secular ethics will often derive moral principles from rational thought. When you think about it, am I doing the right thing? Okay. Then let me now go into critical thinking. What then is the next thing? What are the philosophies that surround this ethical framework? And so human life's value is seen, this is applicable part now, is seen through reasoned argumentations about the importance of well-being, the justice and the equality of all human beings. Now, when we talk about the practical part, where we have to see now, are these really going to, what do they even place their understanding upon? They would actually emphasize majorly on just reducing harm, understanding others, and that's it. Right? We talk about compassion, we talk about empathy. They are only determined, or they are just looking forward to understanding others and reducing harm.
Mpundisi, can the secular view of godliness truly be compared to a spiritual godliness?
The secular view of godliness highly or significantly differs from spiritual or religious perspective. Because in secular context, godliness is often redefined or interpreted to refer to qualities and virtues which are traditionally associated with religious teachings, but the approach is from a non-religious standpoint. There's that striking similarity between the two, but the fact is that they are different. They do not just accept that fact to say, these things, they are somehow different. Now, where is the issue? Firstly, biblical morality teaches that there is a human sinful or brokenness that gets in the way and it twists what God meant to be good. So while the secular godliness would place much emphasis on subjective individualism, which tends to be selective about what rules or laws will be followed, if you remember, because we talked about them coming together and forming this thing, there is that tendency of putting everything to subjectiveness. And so they will refuse to acknowledge the truths that are inconvenient to the feathering of the self. To break it down, there is love, but there is no true altruism. And these laws are just there to protect society for the other guy. Now, when you look at the other source which they use to establish these principles, there is collective humanism. And if we look at it, the morality on this one is that what is good for the whole, but while that appears to be good and noble on the surface, there are some problems when you look at secular godliness. There are some problems based on the social contrast and temporal needs. That means a shift is always there, yes. We may say it evolves, but it just as quickly devolves. As it evolves, people now are becoming modern and everything. So things are evolving. But as it evolves, it also devolves. It assumes good in society, but it simultaneously again elevates the twisted and the bad just as much because of its nature. Now, it tends to become, utilitarian, whereby the problem with this term is that it justifies harms on the individual or those considered on the wrong side of the will of the collective. So when we go now to biblical godliness,
yes,
it has a fixed point of reference. Now, this is where we are comparing them. While the secular would change, would evolve based on the times that people are living in, based on the circumstances and everything, the biblical one is fixed and it doesn't change. The principle remains the same. And it only depends on the relationship with God and then humans. So the first one begins with God, then humans. But it can be twisted and become harmful due to human frailty. Why am I saying human frailty? The Bible in Proverbs tells us that trust the Lord in all your ways. Do not lean in your own what? Understanding.
Yes.
Because the way a person is made is that a person cannot be trusted. Today, they will change the principles on morality. They will change the principles on ethics because that's who a human is. And they will try by all means so that it suits them. But on God's point of view, and when we look at the doctrines and the beliefs which are there, it sticks so much to the principles whereby no matter what happens, principle is the same. It does not favor man. Mm-hmm. It does not favor the individual. It is there for all integrity,
okay,
so that everyone does the same.
Mm.
Now, let me just mention something as well. In us looking at what is better between the two, we need to see the benefits in the as well as the advantages and the disadvantages. There is a potential absence of a moral absolute or divine guidance in secular godliness. Once you just say, no, us will do this thing, the interpretations of morality can lead to subjective ethical standards. Everyone, we once witnessed this, we're not there, but we are told, when you look at Jeremiah, that everyone in the book of Judges, everyone did according to what seemed right in their own sight.
Mm-hmm.
If the courts of the laws today were just to say, no, we are removing anything that has to deal with godliness, then anyone is free to their own personal opinion. Everyone is free to do what they want. Everyone is just there because they are all rooted in human values and ethical considerations. So between the two, which one would I advocate for? I would end by saying that we need, by all means, to follow the biblical, godly line.
Yeah,
because it is based on faith values. There is divine guidance. Someone who is able to see the future while you can't guides you. There is also, while it's centered on human centric, the secular one. This one also center on it and brings a feeling of purpose. When you do something, you feel you have got a purpose, and that vacuum which is left due to lack of a divine source is something which is there and can be highly filled with God coming through our way.
Thank you, Mfundi Swami, for saying that. And I'm also loving how you also ended it up there saying that between these two, let us choose the godly one. Let us choose the spiritual one. Let us choose the spiritual godliness instead of the secular one. Thank you, Mfundi Swami. Any closing remarks on the topic? And then after that, please do pray for our listeners so that they may make the right choice.
Right. When you look at secularism, to be honest, this is just some term which will refer to humanism in that sense. If one is now trying to separate the two, there is no much difference. I mean, imagine someone asking Jesus Christ to say, how was your spiritual life? What do you mean spiritual life? Because everything that I do is connected to my spiritual life. If one is to make a distinction between the two, they are now going down the wrong road. So at the end of the day, while secularism concerns itself with the neutral treatment of religious beliefs in societal affairs, emphasizing a separation between religious and non-religious spheres, godliness typically refers to qualities, virtues. Now, these qualities are not just qualities, but they are also associated with the principles which are often rooted. And these principles will be passed from the father to the children, to the grandchildren, to the great-great-grandchildren, because the principle remains the same. And at the end of the day, if you were to be put on a stage to choose between the two, I highly advocate that you choose spiritual godliness, because this one sticks and the principles are the same. They do not change based on the weather, do not change based on the season, do not change based on the economy, change based on the political leadership which is there. They are fixed and they help us to navigate through life's different challenges.
Please pray for us, Pastor.
That's why, dear God in heaven, we are so grateful for the distinction made between the two. How the secular godliness comes about, on what it is established, and what your own principles are established upon. Between the two, yours has proved over the years to be consistent, to be reliable, a guide that lives eternally. And so our prayer is that may you help us to choose spiritual godliness where we are linked to a divine power, divine source, divine enlightenment. Be with the moderator and presenter as she continues in the studio. Guide her. May you bless her together with the listeners. Be with us the entire day. In your name, dear Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through to speak to us. May you have yourself a blessed day. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much. You too.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.